this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
If there's anybody that feels they've got the interpretations, feel free just to come forward. Just going to linger for a moment or two. Even if you just felt that you just saw a vision or anything, just come forward.
You know, I actually just, while Nell was speaking, I just felt this feeling of anguish, like, you know, this bad feeling, and I just, like, just a hurtful feeling, and I felt God saying, I was asking God what it is, and I felt He was saying that this is what He's feeling for our country, and this is what He's feeling for the people that does not know Him. He's so hurtful. It's like this aching spirit that's inside of Him that's just crying out, just be saved, just be my child. I just want to love you.
Yeah. Yes, I can just confirm that. I also felt that same, exactly what you said, is that God is just saying, I'm calling out to you. Why are you not listening? I'm calling out. I'm knocking. Open up. Open up. I'll help you to open up.
Yeah, I just felt God say, my beloved, my bride, why do you allow yourself to be distracted by the things around you, by the things in the world? Why do you allow the burdens to weigh you down so heavily? Open your eyes, lift up your head, and look unto me, for do you not know who I am?
I just want to kind of agree with what everybody said. I just wrote this down. Like, why have you turned away from me, my people, my children? I'm crying over you. I'm more than enough for you. Come to me, and I will fight your battles for you. Bring it to me.
While the tongue was being brought, I saw a vision just straight away. I closed my eyes, saw this vision. It seems to tie into and correlate with what everybody else was saying as well. I didn't really want to bring it because it's a bit freaky at first. I just saw what seemed to be heads of bulls on the side by side. I clearly saw their horns, and there was just an army of bulls, and they just went on and on and on forever. And like straight away, a verse came to mind. I think it's in Psalms 22 when David is prophetically talking about Jesus, and he sort of skips over into Jesus, and Jesus says, "Strong bulls of Bashan surround me," and he's pretty much talking about the torment that he's going through just before the cross. And then I looked up literally, and somebody just spoke about looking up, and I saw Jesus, and he's coming in glory. And he was just clearly saying that these bulls, this armada of bulls, is what we face every day, is this burden that we have. And they're just coming on like an onslaught against the church. And we're so busy focused on those horns and how badly it's hurting every single day. If we would only just look up to the King of Kings, because he's overcome. He's overcome the cross, and he overcome those strong bulls of Bashan that were around him that day on the cross. May you all just look up to the overcomer, because he's already won for us.
We were going to pray for a couple of things just during the offering that I'm just going to just, because of the words that God has just brought now, I'm just going to accelerate that a little bit. And as you know, a lot of, in the news, a whole lot of the strikes, all the violence, et cetera, I believe that some of the words that came out tonight was not necessarily everything for that, but some of it was. And I just want us to, you're welcome to pray on your own as well, but if you're comfortable to pray with two or three people, then let's just intercede for our country. There's we, before the service, beforehand, we also came together and we interceded for the country, and I really believe that God's heart is breaking for the country, and a lot of us, me including, my heart is not breaking as His heart is breaking. And number one, I believe that God wants to come and impart that heart into our lives for the people around us, for the country. But also he wants us to step into a place of authority and tear down certain things that are not of God in this country. And also to speak life instead of the death that has been spoken. And I've been guilty as well. As soon as there's something that happens, first thing that we do is we start thinking and speaking negatively over those situations. But God has called us as intercessors to come in between that and to speak death to that which is bringing death, and to speak life over certain situations. So I'm just going to start praying, and then then I just want us to just group two or three together. Like I said, you're welcome to pray alone as well. For some of you, God might even just take interest in a little bit of time just in travailing, like a birthing prayer, and normally do that alone. Okay, let's pray together. So Father God, we as your children, God, we come to you, God, and we cry out to you, God, that we have not taken up our rightful place as your children in this country, God. Although we've done it at times, God, we know that we, in the large scale, God, we have gotten distracted, God, by the things that of our own circumstances, of our own challenges, God. But I thank you, God, tonight that you're opening up our eyes and you're giving us a heart of flesh for this country, God. You're imparting your heart unto us, God. And we ask for that heart, God, for our hearts that are not breaking, God, for the lost, for our hearts that are not breaking for those that are battling, God, on either side, God, people that are struggling financially, that want to uproar, God, and the people on the other side, God, that as soon as there's an uproar, wants to speak negatively and to tear down. Both sides, God, we just want to come and speak your peace, God, in Jesus' name. Every word of hatred that has been spoken, God, we just speak a death unto that, God. And we come on behalf of them, God. Every situation, every strike, every violent situation in this country, God. We just come and bring that before you, God. And we pray your blood over that, God. And we repent on behalf of this country, God. We repent on behalf of every person, God, that has shed blood that is beyond what you've called for, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we repent on behalf of them, God. And we pray that you will come and redeem these situations, God. Like we've prayed earlier, God. We come and repent on behalf of the leaders of this nation, God. Of dedicating this nation unto the forefathers, God. And not dedicating this country unto you. We repent of that, Lord. And we come and speak just a death over that. And we want to close that door tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we want to open the door for your Holy Spirit to come and reign in this country, God. Lord Jesus, have your way in this country. Let your will be done here in South Africa as it is in heaven, Lord. Let your name be glorified, Lord. In the name of Jesus, let's continue to pray for a couple of moments. So also while you're praying, let's just pray for the leadership of this country as well. Come. So Lord God, we just come and we pray for the leaders of our nation, God. Lord, we pray, God, for their salvation, God. We pray, God, Holy Spirit, that you would just encamp all around them, God, and that you would just come with like a flood, God, into our government, God, and expose every work of the enemy, God, to the light, Lord. May you shine your light in our government, in the leaders of our nation, God. May leaders come clean, God. May they turn to you, God. In Jesus' name, and you raise them up to stand for your name, God. In Jesus' name, thank you for the men of peace in Parliament, God. Thank you for men of peace, in unions, God, worker unions. And we pray that those men of peace will rise up and stand up. We thank you, God, that you touch their mouths, God, with a burning coal to speak your word, and your order will reign supreme, God. In Jesus' name. We speak a peace, God, over every area where there's just chaos, Lord. In Jesus' name, we speak a divine order over those situations, over every strike, over every hidden agenda. Every hidden agenda of a person, but also of just the demonic spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for your peace. Thank you for your rest. Thank you that even in the midst of it all, God, that people will find their rest and their quiet in you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. So you cannot help, Lord, but just to stand in awe of who you are, God. Lord, and tonight, Lord, as the song says, Lord, we enthrone you as the Lord, as the King of our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, come and shape us, come and mold us into that which, according to your will, God, in Jesus' name. We submit tonight unto you, God. We submit ourselves unto you, Lord, and say, Lord, come and have your way amongst us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Ben. You can take your seats. I'm preparing for tonight. I really it's that to really trust in that nobody here will necessarily be distracted by any form of manifestation of Movember, either from the front or from out there. Ed was giving me some grief. He just stepped out. He said, oh, well, you're getting there. I'm like, yeah, but I started late. Like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, yeah, no, I did start late. Our anniversary is always on the 8th of November, so I always have this 8 to 10 day lag before I really get into the swing of things. Anyway, that's got absolutely nothing to do with nothing. All right. Tonight, I just want to, the title of tonight's sermon is based on the scripture in Psalm 121. I'm just going to read the Psalm. And I'll say then what the title is. Psalm 121 says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And tonight I want to talk about the Lord being with us in our coming and in our going. And it's more in response to a word that Stefan, that's busy studying down in the Cape, will be coming back in a couple of weeks. He just sent through an email based on a word that he felt God was saying to him. And tonight's message is really around that word, and I'll share exactly what that word was. But it boils down to coming and going. And I'll share as we go along. I'll try not to run ahead of myself. But first of all, the coming just talks about coming to God. It talks about coming home. You go out in the morning out of your house, you come back home. There's a blessing, there's a protection that God, He's with us in our going out and in our coming back in. But also when we talk about coming, he talks about coming into his presence. And the same when talking about going, he's talking about, yes, in your every day-to-day work, but it was also talking about going, letting his kingdom come. And that is it, what it's going to revolve tonight around, is coming and going. And so you'll hear that quite a bit tonight. In Isaiah 26, from verse 8 to 9, it says, yes, Lord, walking in the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the peoples of the world learn righteousness. This is, first of all, that about yes, Lord. Almost on a daily basis, we're confronted with things that God talks to us about or brings across our path, either on a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis, depending the scale. And normally those answers is normally something around yes, Lord. When God asks us something, it's not necessarily because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he's looking for a certain response. Now, obviously, when the question is a negative answer, then obviously you say, no, Lord. But when we had to come to Jesus Christ first, when we came to salvation, when we came to accept Jesus as our Savior, that was the first instance where we said, yes, Lord. And from there on in, we start burning with this desire where it talks about walking the ways of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desires of your heart. When we came to salvation, we didn't do it because it's going to make me great. Anybody here that said, yes, Lord, I want your salvation because I'm going to play guitar in front of thousands of people, or yes, Lord, okay, maybe you did, but somewhere along the line, God would have spoken to you about that thing and said, you didn't actually come to me because of that. I want you because it's about my name and my renown. God's name, obviously, I'm not talking about me. And that is what we're talking about here tonight. It's about His name, His renown. That is the desire of our hearts. And maybe that is, what's the right word? It's been quenched maybe a little bit because of whatever. That desire is not that burning desire that it was at first when you first came to God or whatever. But tonight I really believe that God wants to come and stir that just within us again. That His name, His renown would be the desire of our hearts. No matter what we do, no matter how tough the situations are in life that we're going through, but that it'll be, yes, Lord, your laws we meditate on. What does He say? Walking in the way of your laws. We wait for you. Just on the side, we wait for you is not always a passive thing. What I mean is, you don't say, Lord, yes, I wait for you, and then you go surfing. Okay, well, you can go surfing, but there's an active, I'm inclining my ear to hear from God in that waiting process. You don't say, okay, Lord, I wait for you, and then you go on with your own agenda and don't think about it ever. Yes, there's places where you need to lay down your burdens, your desires, and everything at the foot of the cross in Jesus Christ and just move on. But when we're talking about waiting upon God, there's actually the act of inclining your ear to hear from God. And in that, there is rest. You don't have to freak out. Okay. Galatians 5 from verse 24 to 25 says, those who belong to Jesus, to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, some of the scriptures that I'm sharing, you can go and read it a little bit more in context, and it'll make a little bit more sense also in context. Just first of all, yeah, who likes to dance? Who can waltz? No, I'm not going to ask my mom to go and dance. who wants to volunteer? I've got a waltz prepared there at the back. Just a minute or two. I just want to illustrate something about this keeping in step with the Spirit. Now, everybody that put up their hands is just like, anybody? I will ask my mom to waltz if nobody else comes. Now you're rooting for that, I'm sure. Okay, more? Wasn't meant to put myself on the spot on this occasion. Okay, let me just have a sip of water. I wanted to, ever was having a waltz, to be surprised by that other song that comes up and absolutely have no idea what to do. And it turned out I didn't have any idea what to do then. But what I wanted to illustrate there is just about keeping a step with the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us about something now, and in a week's time He talks about it, or in a day's time He speaks to us something else. Or to us as an individual, He wants you to do something, and then you've done it, or you didn't do it, but that season for doing it either passed, or you just need to be obedient before that season passes. And then the Holy Spirit talks about something else, very much like a waltz and that other song that came up. It's two different tunes. You're going to be out of step with what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing. And that's actually just, I just wanted to illustrate that. That's the picture of keeping in step with the Spirit is either, the picture I got is either in dancing with the Holy Spirit and just submitting to His leading, where guys, you'll be the female in this role and the Holy Spirit would lead you in the dance. And, or the other picture is, which may be a little bit more attractive to the guys, is more like a military keeping in step in the march. If you are out of sync with the rest of the regiment, then you're not in sync. So that's sort of two images that I have in my mind about it. Okay, that was just everything. Introduction. Just talking about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. The question I just want to just pose is, what are you listening for? A lot of the times we are listening for the answers to our prayers. We're listening for the answers of the desires of our hearts. And it's not necessarily the things that the Holy Spirit is busy talking to you about or wants to talk to you about. For a lot of us, sometimes we don't give the Holy Spirit chance to talk to us, actually, about what is in his heart. Now, whether if that is a case of we're still learning how to discern the Holy Spirit's voice, that's a little bit of a different story. There's room for that, and there's a time that you grow. As a baby, you learn to discern your father and your mother's voice, etc., etc. Okay. So all I'm saying is remain open to what the Holy Spirit actually wants to say. We come into God's presence with this whole agenda, and then we go out, or we submit all of our requests and everything and our burdens, and then we walk out. What I'm saying is, come into God's presence, and yes, there's a place where we need to submit our requests, make petitions, etc., etc. There's a place where we actually just wait upon the Lord. Say, Lord, what is in your heart? And show me what is in your heart. And then pray according to that. Oh, I'm still out of breath from that dance. Okay, now the word that Stefan sent through, this is basically, it's word for word as he sent it through. So just read it with me. Get back to the former things. I've made it plain and clear. Let heaven come on earth. I've given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything you seek, everything you need to do what I ask. Stop seeking new revelations. Seek my face, my heart. Be my hands, my feet. Stop waiting for a word, a new revelation. My heart is breaking. Please go. I'm going to revisit this as we go through this. And we'll send this word through to the small group facilitators as well, and they can give it to every small group member as well, just to work through it as well. And as you'll see there, just in the beginning, that where the word just says there, get back to the former things. It's very much the coming part, which I was talking about earlier, is get back to the former things. Get back to the heart of God. Get back to Jesus being your first love. Revelations 2, from verse 4. Well, I'm going to read from verse 2, but I've only got 4 and 5 up there. So, I know the deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. And that's very much what I believe that first part of that word is just talking about. Get back to the former things. Come back to your first love. Come back to the place where I, Jesus, is number one in your life. Where that passion that drives you, that gets you up in the morning, is Jesus Christ and nothing else. Not my wife, not my kid, not my work. Nothing can replace having, not ministry, nothing can replace that yearning desire, that scripture that I read there about, yes, Lord, your name, your renown, the desires of my heart, that sort of thing. That would be the thing that keeps us up at night, is just that longing, almost that, all of you have been in love at some stage, eh? And you can't stop thinking about that person. I'm not being in love and falling out of love. It comes and goes slightly. Love remains. But I'm almost talking about that sort of thing, about where the thought of Jesus Christ consumes you. That which is his word, that which God is saying, which Jesus is saying, consumes you. Where you have that passion, where you have that love for him. Love for him, first of all, and then a love for your neighbor. For love for them, being the first things. Now, I'm going to interrupt myself slightly here. In each of our individual circumstances, God is, or we in different seasons, or we're going through different things, and okay, I knew that was going to happen. Sorry, my bad. That was an alarm. Sorry, I knew I had to switch it off yesterday already. My phone interrupted me. I didn't have to interrupt myself then. Yeah, we're all in different seasons, circumstances, etc., etc. And God is saying, move in this season, or move in this. I want, and you just getting a revelation of this is this is how I form part of this small group, or these are the giftings that I have, or I want to go on missions, and then somebody says spiritual growth series, and then somebody says Bible school, and you sort of feel like, when then somebody says intercession, then somebody says band, and you feel like you need to be everywhere, and that's not what I'm saying. Yeah, what I'm saying is, in terms of keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, you need to keep in step with what the Spirit is telling you. We, as leadership, we deem certain things to be important, and we stress it sometimes. We overstress it sometimes. And what I find typically is sometimes the very committed members feel very overwhelmed if we stress certain things, which they're not necessarily doing, but they're like overly committed in other areas, and now it feels like I need to do that as well. And that is not what we're saying. Yeah, what we're saying is, hear from the Holy Spirit what you need to do, where you need to be involved in spiritual growth series, what do you need to do, where can I be involved with them, intercession, do I need to be there, do I not need to be there. Yes, we are stressing the importance of all of those things. But in terms of you keeping in step with what the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to ask God, okay, what are you saying? And then there's a place where we corporately, where we need to all be in step with what the Spirit is doing. And generally what I find, what's supposed to facilitate a lot of what we corporately, what the Holy Spirit is doing and saying to us, is here, and the way we respond here on the Sunday service, and how we respond to that and how we live that out on a Wednesday small group. Now, I'm talking about corporately, as a congregation. How do we live that out? How do we implement that as a group? But yes, and there's certain things that are going to be individually applicable to you, and you need to delve a little bit deeper into that and what that actually means. As my sales pitch for small group, you need to go to small group, by the way, if you don't. You need to go to a small group, but it wasn't supposed to be my sales pitch. Okay, John 21. Jesus comes to Peter. That's not after he's been resurrected, and he's denied him and all sorts of things. And some of the scriptures aren't going to be up there, so you can just jot them down. But like this John 21 one, and then from verse 15 onwards, then Jesus comes to him and he says, Peter, do you love me? And then Peter responds, yes, Lord, I love you. Or you know all things, you know that I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. So he goes like this three times. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And every time, and then obviously somewhere along the line, I'm not going to go into the detail of that. But then after that, from verse 18, and he says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. And following on from that first part where I said that we need to return to our first love, to Jesus, where, twisting the scripture slightly, where Jesus comes and says, do you love me? Jesus saying, do you love me? And after responding to that and lingering on that a little bit, and you can go back into O Quiet Times and what God is saying to you more about that. Jesus comes to tell Peter, can now follow me. Now, he said that there's a certain kind of death that he's going to die as well, but then he said, follow me, and there's a certain cost that he needed to count there. So Peter turns around in that scripture just after in verse 20, and he turns around and he looks at John, and he asks Jesus, okay, but what about him? And all Jesus responds is, in verse 22, says, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. So it's not about the person next to you. It's not even as much about your wife, your fiance, your husband, your child. Okay? Jesus is asking you individually, do you love me? And after responding to that, yes, Lord, maybe three times, maybe 10 times, God will show you whatever he wants to show you in that. Then he says, okay, well, follow me. And that's where the going part also comes in, is after you've come to me, okay, now let's go, follow me. And in Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, first of all, I just want to stand still on that. Throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. A lot of times we associate things that hinder as being sin. So we repent of a whole lot of things, of all sorts of sins. We don't necessarily think about the things that hinder. What are the things that hinder? The things that the Holy Spirit might be talking to you about that are keeping you then from following Jesus. For example, maybe the Holy Spirit laid on your heart to start interceding for a whole lot of things. Now, you have started doing that. However, maybe the Holy Spirit said, I want to interrupt you in the middle of them. Be able, not necessarily always do that, but be able to interrupt you in the middle of your sleep at night, wake you up, show you something, and then you start praying. That is an example. Then throwing off what hinders would probably be the duvet. Yeah. What keeps us from getting up in the morning and spending time with God is the duvet or the comfort of our own bed. Okay, it's a very down-to-earth example, but that is applicable to anything that hinders us from just actually being on par with what Jesus is saying. Not necessarily sin. Now, yes, disobedience is sin in itself, but if you're not inclining your ear to hear, then you might not know what the things that are that hinders. So if you're feeling there's a disconnect between you and God, ask God, what is it that is hindering my relationship with you? Because I want to get that out of the way. Yeah, so God is calling us, get rid of the sin that is entangling you, throw off the things that hinder, and follow me. Keep your eyes fixed on the author and the finisher of our faith. And that last part, it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now, as soon as persecution comes, as soon as there's something that comes along our way that we didn't necessarily see as part of the package, there's hardships, or somebody dies, or somebody looks funny at you because you say you're a Christian, or you go to a small group on Wednesday, or you go to church on Sunday, or that's light ones. We're not even talking about your family member being shot because he's saying he's a Christian. If those kind of things come up, hardships, consider him who endured such opposition, who did not, how did he say him? Endured such opposition from sinners that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, then those other things will not matter. However, we're going on missions next year as well. And there's a window in April, May that we'll probably go, and there's a window in June as well that will go. So if you can, don't use all your leave during December because you might need it then. Okay. And anyway, what I wanted to say is a lot of times what we say when we share the gospel with somebody that doesn't believe in God, we try to get them to a place where they actually would say the sinner's prayer, where they would give their heart to the Lord. But we don't necessarily show them what are the costs that you need to count. And it isn't that. I watched the video clip the other day where he says, somebody asked the pastor, they had this massive event and like hundreds of people responded to the altar call, and they asked the pastor, so how many people got saved? And he said, well, we'll probably see in about a year's time. And what he was just saying there was just so cool. There's two things there. Number one, it's a thing of, were the people that were praying that, were they sincere? Were they counting the costs? And the other thing is, are they going to be discipled thereafter? I know that's a whole different sermon on a different time, but no, that's a mouthful. Okay, but what I'm saying is that there's a definite place where we need to count the cost when we say to God, okay, yes, Lord. Right. Matthew 6. This is going then to the second line of that word. From verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then it continues with the rest of that prayer. And that is a big prayer that we need to pray for our own lives, but also for the places that are around us. Lord, may your name be made great. I make your name great. Jesus, you are above all. at my work, Jesus, I exalt your name. If I'm not going to do it, who else at your work is going to do it? Okay? Not necessarily saying you need to stand up in a board meeting and say, okay, sorry, I got something to say. Jesus is the name above all names. Thank you very much. And sit down. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? There's a place in the Spirit which you can occupy and say, Lord, I exalt your name above every other name that is in this place. You don't even have to say that to any person there. But start doing that in the Spirit and exalting the name of Jesus. Okay. And then he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that second word, Tanya, if you can go back to that word again, says, I've made it plain and clear, let heaven come on earth. And a lot of times, yes, we pray this prayer of your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we neglect the part where Jesus called us to yoke with him, to partner with him, to follow him, and to actually let his kingdom come wherever we go. However, we cannot let his kingdom come apart from yoking with Jesus. Okay, then it's just going to be dead works. Then, yeah, in the first place where we need to start is just ourselves. Let your kingdom come in my life, in my heart, whatever it is that you're talking to me about. Okay. 2 Peter 1. I'm not going to expand too much on it. It's pretty self-explanatory, and it's also in that word that was shared. It says, from verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That part that is underlined is exactly that it also came up in the word which God just shared with us in intercession, etc. And then the other thing is that, yes, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And sometimes we come to God and say, God, but I'm struggling with this or that or whatever. And we come and we rant and rave. And God allows us to just vent. And then he talks to us. And he doesn't even talk to us about the things that we rant and raved about. And then we're like, God. And then all he's saying is that I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Why are you complaining about this and about this and about this? I read a scripture. Sorry, this is not really part of the sermon, but I read a scripture this week. Exodus 14. This is now the Israelites moving out of Egypt. And then what was interesting, I read like in Exodus 14, verse 8. So the Israelites are cruising out, and the scripture says, Israelites who were marching out boldly. Okay, so you can just imagine, okay, now they're marching out boldly. It's not even five verses later. Then the Egyptians are on their case again. And then they were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Like, there's like two or three verses in between marching out boldly and being terrified and crying out to the Lord. It's just, and we are like that as well. I mean, yeah, I'm like that as well, but it's something that God is sorting out. And then later, verse 13, he says, Moses talks to the people and says, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. And I love this next verse. It was like a wow moment for me. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. and then he says a couple of other things as well. But it was just, that just struck me. Like, the Israelites are standing there, terrified, like, they're almost like lame, and they're like, and they cry out to God. And he's like, why are you crying out to me? Move on. It was just like, and then after that, what God did is, he brought that pillar of fire that was before them, he took it and he brought it to the back. So the Egyptians couldn't catch up with him. So God had to intervene there, actually, so that they couldn't catch up and keep them apart until the Israelites one day decided to go through the Red Sea, and then God could let the Egyptians follow. Anyway, that was for free. That was a wow moment for me. Anyway, what God is also saying is that he's given us all power that pertains to life and godliness. It's also, which is not necessarily the same power that he's referring to here, but however, he's saying that he told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And the reason for that is so that they will be effective witnesses. All I'm saying there is that God has given us everything that we need for this life. Okay, Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you all the days, to the very end of the age." But that scripture is very self-explanatory, and I'm not going to delve too much in the detail there. However, what God did not say there is that if you feel like it, or if you want to. Okay, I know he was talking to the disciples, but that is one of those verses where God was not just talking to disciples. That is a thing of, if you're a disciple and you make a disciple, then that disciple needs to make disciples, etc., etc. So God wasn't there saying that if it is your calling, then make a disciple, or if it is your gifting, make a disciple. He said, "I've given you all authority in heaven and earth, therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, and I will be with you to the very end of the age." That is a promise there in the end, that God is with us. That it is not a fact that he is just sending us out. He's saying, "I'm with you." The principle of follow me. He's not saying, "Okay, there you go." Maybe sometimes it feels like that when God does it, but he is still with us. All right. The scripture that's not on there. Don't worry about that. Isaiah, because the question is, okay, now what? God has given us that word, and he's saying, "All right, we need to come, we need to go." And the question is, now what? Now what do we do? Feels like God is maybe speaking to me about 100 different things in the sermon, and how am I supposed to put everything right, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just hang on. Isaiah 30 from verse 15 says, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it." This is one of those choices of either saying yes, Lord. In not saying yes, Lord, you're defaulting by saying no, Lord. It's a positive thing. It's a positive confirmation. I was an auditor, by the way. And a confirmation, like a loan confirmation. Who else is auditors here? You know what's a loan confirmation? You send it out as auditor, you send it out to whoever the person got a loan with, and they need to send it back. Positive confirmation is they need to send it back to you. A negative confirmation is you send it out and say, "Please return if the balance is incorrect." So if they don't return it, you accept it as right. This is not what God is saying. Okay? He's saying that if you're not saying to me, "Yes, Lord," I do not enter into that space. Yeah. That's auditing 101 for you. Okay. Just shake somebody next to you and say, just feel a very subdued atmosphere. Just need to just get a smile or two there. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, I just want to emphasize that. Repent and rest. That is where God is leading us to. Repent and rest. Okay. Be quiet and trust in him. Okay. Be quiet and trust in him. That doesn't mean that we're going to do nothing after that. Okay. But that's the first step. Okay. Repent and rest. Be quiet and trust in him. In my last scripture. Isaiah 6. I shared a portion of the scripture the previous time I preached as well about the holiness of God. Verse 3, it's not up there. This is the calling of Isaiah, and he's like feeling like, "Whoa, I can't face all of this," and I think he's very warranted to have felt like it. And then he says, and okay, you're seeing this vision, and then all of these seraphim and angels are flying around, and they're just shouting everything, and they're just going awesome, and they're saying it, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And he's going, "Woe to me," more like "woe to me," sorry, not "woe," sorry. "I'm ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And then comes the scripture, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And then verse 9, God starts saying to him, he said, "Go and tell this people." And then he's got this prophecy that he needs to speak over the people. Obviously, this thing was in context into the calling of Isaiah, etc., etc., but there's a lot that we can take out of here. But there's a place where God says, "Who will go for me? Whom can I send?" And that's a place where we say, "Lord, send me." The last part of that word is goes, God is saying, "Seek my face, seek my heart, be my hands, my feet. Stop waiting for a word, a new revelation. My heart is breaking. Please go." Herkie. A couple of ways that we just respond to what God is saying is, the rest of the band can also come up, is repent, rest, be quiet, trust in Him. And then there's also a response to the presence of God, where we shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And then in that, God says, "Who can I send?" And that's where we respond and say, "Lord, I'll go wherever you say. If it's to my colleague in the cubicle next to me, if it is to Pakistan. No reservations," saying, "Lord, you." But first, there's a place where we need to come before we can go. So what we're going to do now is we're going to worship one song. Basically just facilitating this of worshiping God. And after we worshiped, there's a prayer that we'll put on this on slides, and I want us all just to pray together that prayer. Basically boiling down to saying, "Yes, Lord, I will go for you. I'm enthroned." Let's just pray together. So Father God, we just want to come tonight, God, and we just want to honor you for who you are, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, there's so much, God, of you that we do not know. Lord, you know us inside out, God, and that is why you come and you come and show us bits and pieces of you, God, because we will just be overwhelmed by who you are, and we would run away, or we would die. Jesus' name. Let's just pray this prayer together. I realize that God is speaking to, well, He's speaking to me as well about a lot of things. And He's speaking to you also various things. I'm trusting and hoping that somewhere along the line in this prayer that there's something there that you resonate with. If it isn't, and there's something else that you need to pray with, you need to pray for, with somebody further, please then afterwards come to the front. There'll be some of the lady facilitators will be, some of the guys will be here, and we want to pray with you guys. Don't just leave it in the air. Okay, let's pray together. Aloud, by the way. Okay. 1, 2, 3. "Yes, Lord, for your name and your renown I will live. I repent of forsaking my first love. I repent of only coming and not going also. I choose to throw off everything that hinders and any sin that has entangled me, and I choose to fix my eyes on you. I commit to seek you with all that I am. Let your will be done. Let your kingdom come in me and on earth as it is in heaven. I choose to keep in step with the Spirit and follow you no matter what happens. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that gives us power to be effective witnesses. Thank you that you have given me everything pertaining to life and godliness. Thank you for the authority that you have delegated to me to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in your name and teaching them to obey everything you have commanded me. Thank you that I can yoke with you and learn from you, Jesus. I find my rest in you. Lord, tonight I proclaim, here I am, send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Is anybody that has a need to pray with someone? We'll ask the lady facilitators to just come a little bit more to the front, some of the guys also. If you need to pray with someone, just come to one of them and just pray with them. We're gonna worship one more song, but I'm gonna dismiss it now. But if you need to work through with something with God, then do it. Remain seated, remain in God's presence. If you want to care, outside is coffee. If you're visiting, please join us for coffee. We're just gonna worship one more song. That new song. Yeah, but if you need prayer, please come forward again. I just want to pray. God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you go with us and that you are sending us out not alone. In Jesus' name, God, we realize that you're sending us out as sheep among wolves. But we thank you that you do not leave us nor forsake us. We thank you as your children, that we can have access to your throne room by the blood of Jesus Christ, what you've already done. And we come through that blood always. We thank you for the blood that we can come with boldness into your presence. Tonight, Lord, we lay our hearts bare before you. I realize, God, that as you say, who can you use? Who can you send? That sometimes that's going to involve laboring in prayer. Sometimes that's going to mean washing somebody's feet. Sometimes it's going to mean bringing a meal to somebody. Sometimes it's going to mean preaching the gospel outrightly. Sometimes it's going to be loving the person in the office. Or sometimes it's going to be going on missions. Whatever it is that you're saying, pray that you will make every one of us sensitive to your Holy Spirit and that we would incline our ears to hear what it is that you are saying. Regardless of the agenda that I walk into your presence with, that I would walk out of there with your agenda on my heart, God. In the name of Jesus.